who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me to Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter. We're going to talk about the second code, one of the second codes of the universe. Last week we talked about unveiling the codes of the universe, and the code was there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And you know what it was? I got a rebuke this week from my good friend Eric because of the word that I spoke. I spoke of the word retarded. Yeah. Some of you are shaking your head already. You wanted to call me too, didn't you? And he says, you know, we get on to our teenagers for saying that and using that word. And it's not a good word to use. And I said, thank you for helping me be better. You know, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Help each other be better. And so I thought it was odd though, wasn't it? In a sermon about life and death and the power of a tongue, I'm speaking a word that to some was offensive and death. Not just meant it in the sense of spiritual ignorance, okay? But it goes to prove my point that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And here's something I think is powerful that when you have a friend that loves you enough to tell you. Because they're getting farther and few in between than anybody to just be honest enough and love you enough to tell you to help you grow. So I appreciate your words this week to me. Yeah. And if you've got any more words for Eric to give to me, I'd rather hear them from you. Just a thought. See, because we got to follow the biblical process. And he says, if you see a brother in a fault, you go to him. You don't send Eric or somebody that's bold enough and loves people enough to tell them. You go tell them. Galatians 6:7. And we're going to talk about, this is the code we're going to unveil today. And I know it's simple, but we need to be reminded of it. And I want to show you maybe a thing or two that you haven't noticed in a while, if ever. But you reap what you sow. How many knows that's a universal code that God has set in place? You reap what you sow. And here's what we do most of the time. Most of the time we're like, you know, when I sow a little good, I'm ready for my harvest. But when somebody sows a little something against me that's bad, I'm ready for their harvest too. Are you with me? Yeah. And so we need to get that more in balance than where it is. But it says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever, and that's a key word in that paragraph, is whatever. Our three-year-old granddaughter has learned a new word, whatever. You know, you mess with her and she knows you're messing with her. She looks at you and she'll say, whatever. I mean, no, that's not what this kind of whatever is talking about. This whatever is whatever. Whatever. That encompasses a lot of things, doesn't it? Whatever. In other words, from the time you get up to the time you and I go to bed, and I'm not even sure it stops there, because how many knows when you're sleeping at night, you're sowing to your body rest so that it will recreate energy. So really, it's a 24-hour a day, isn't it, that we're sowing and reaping. Have you ever stayed up really late? There's a kid at our school, and he's over the I forget what they call it, the community something, I believe, where the students come and gather together and their activities, and one of his things is if it's a snow day and what have you, then they have nothing to do. School's out. He's in charge of making sure, you know, they're all grouped up somewhere if they're doing activities and they're accountable for it. And so our school said, Southwest Christian University says, we closed down on, I think it was Wednesday, we were going to be closed. Well, they came back and called and said they're going to be open. Well, now this young man stayed up till 7 in the morning. Class starts at 8:30. And his face is just, you know, you could just see it in his face. I said, what happened to you? He goes, well, man, I stayed up with them kids, and you know. And so even when we're sleeping, we're still sowing. In fact, how many knows if you just like with Dal, if you don't sow enough rest, you're going to reap the benefits of that. So that universal principle still applies even then. So whatever a man sows, if you don't want to take care of your body and get enough rest, Or you can give it too much rest, they say. You know, you get lethargic and can't move around and function properly. So that even applies in our sleeping times, what I'm saying. This is how big it is. Whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whatever. Whatever area. Whether it's your speaking, it's your looking, it's your giving, it's your taking, it's your thoughts. Whatever. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And so he gives us a key word on whatever, and then he gives us two methods or two modes of sowing. We can sow in flesh, and we can sow in spirit. And so every day, in all hours of our day, we're either sowing in flesh or we're sowing in spirit. Every day of every moment. And we waffle back and forth, don't we? I'm sowing in the Spirit. God is good. I'm doing well. You know, and then all of a sudden somebody interrupts my day. Somebody criticizes me. Somebody, you know, I lose my job. You know, life happens. That means living life. Life happens. And all of a sudden we shift from Spirit over to flesh. About that fast. And so what I'm trying to do here today is say, let's identify that at every given moment we're sowing either to flesh or spirit, and we need to identify when we switch over from one to the other. How many knows? And the Holy Spirit will help us shift back in as soon as we shift into the flesh if we give Him permission. Does He have permission for you? See, He doesn't have permission from you if you say, well, you know what? I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't care what they think about it. How many knows that is the flesh? And how many knows you can do that? That is your option. God gave you an intellect, a will, a mind to think. He gave you the choice. You know, the tree of good and evil is still there, so to speak, because we have a choice. If we're gonna eat of the tree of righteousness, or if we're going to eat of some other tree. And so we can shift to give us that choice. But here's what I want you to get. We cannot do that without consequences. Are you with me? You can do it. We can shift from here to there, and we can camp out as long as we want in sowing in the flesh, but we cannot stay there without reaping the consequences. That's just the way it's made up. But the good news is, we can't stay in sowing in the Spirit without reaping the blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, now you shout, yeah. 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 But that's wonderful, isn't it? And we get to choose. You get to choose if you want to stay here or if you want to stay over there. Now, the hard part is not to blame people for being over here. We're still like Adam and Eve. It's that woman you gave me, God. Now I have to agree, you ladies can push our buttons.
No.
Oh, they're grumbling now. Listen to all the demons coming out now. Yeah. You can push our butt. You know you can push our butt. If you're married to, you know, you found a wife and you found a good one, you found a good thing, right? But you know you can push our butt. Same way with you and me. You know we can push your button. Dad told me the other day, she said, you know, you and your son went to bed and you left all the lights on the living room. Quickly, my son said, well, Dad's getting old. I didn't want him to hurt himself going to the bed. Push the blame on over, you know. I said, that's a lie, Junior. He's still young and he don't know our house very well, and I didn't want him to hurt himself. That's the truth right there. See? And so it's easy. We're just having fun with that. But it's easy to go from one to the other. But here's the good news. The longer we stay over here, the easier it is. In the spirit, sowing in the Spirit, because we develop patterns and habits. How many knows we talk about a habit, and we usually think of a habit as a bad thing, right? Oh, they got a habit. Well, we all ought to have habits, right? We ought to have a habit of praying, habit of reading God's Word, the habit of speaking life and love, the habit of, you know, whatever it is. But habits are good. They develop patterns, and Jesus had a habit. He went from one prayer meeting to the next, doing miracles in between. That's a habit he had. And so we think about that. Let me read you something. This is the Living Bible. If you have the Living Bible, you've already read this. But this is the same verse of Scripture we just read. But I like the way it says it, like in Oklahoma terms. You know, it says Galatians 6:7, the Living Bible. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. Some of you parents and grandparents. The reason your kids and grandkids ignore you when you give them commands to do something is because they get away with it. Hey, you better quit that, I'm with you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Well, they don't have a hearing problem. They have a discipline problem. And God says, I'm not like that. You cannot ignore me and get away with that. You can do it, but you can't get away with it. Now, that'll help you on both sides, because here's what I've learned. You know, when somebody hurts me or they're mean to me or whatever, and I think, I don't want to forgive them because I let them off the hook. They're not getting away with it. They're not getting off the hook. See? Just forgive them and calm down. They're not getting off the hook, because God says, I won't ignore it. When somebody, if I'm mean to somebody else and hateful to you or something, God's not going to ignore that. He's going to deal with me because I belong to Him. If you belong to Jesus, He's going to deal with you. Listen, if they don't belong to Jesus, they're going to hell. Did you know that? We don't need to be mad at them. We need to be praying and doing intercession for them. They're acting like a sinner and it's hacked us off. They're walking in darkness. I asked a question this week to one of our speakers. I said, whenever, you know, they say Satan didn't know about Jesus dying and going to and what he was accomplishing, and I thought, I just don't know if that's so. You know, he's the God of this universe, of the earth and the prince and power of the air, they call him, and he's roaming around and he's listening and watching and I think he knew about the virgin birth. He's in the spiritual realm, and so he knows about the virgin birth. I think he knew about Gabriel. You know, they have battles, they have fights together. And so I think he knew all this was coming. And then Jesus, by his own admission, said, I'm gonna be killed, and the third day I'll rise again. And even though his disciples didn't get it, I thought, surely he got it. He tempted him, and remember, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made. If you are, jump off. If you are, worship me, and I'll give you all this. You know, and so he's tempting him. He's trying to plant doubt, and then it hit me. Because the guy that I asked the question, I said, do you think that's really true? I said, I think there's a principle here we're missing, and I'm not sure what it is. But over lunch, I was talking to another pastor, and I said, I think I have it. Whenever Satan, he's just like this principle, this code, if you will, it's not only for here, it's in the spiritual realm as well, isn't it? And so he is the father of deception and lies, and he's walking in that, so that's what he's going to reap, isn't it? He's going to reap deception. I think it's not that he didn't know. I think that it is. He was walking in that. And just that same principle that applies to you and I. If we want to walk in darkness, we can walk in darkness. But we cannot walk in darkness and see light and spiritual things. Not at least like we should. And so here he was in this same universal code. He's caught up in it. And he's so engulfed with anger and rage and his mission statement, I have come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's my mission statement, you know. And he's so caught up in that, he can't see light and truth. Now that just helped me to say, you know what? If the devil does it, if you do it, if I do it, we're all in the same boat. Now he can't receive blessing because he's past his time. But with you and I, we can stay over here and sow in the Spirit and reap spiritual blessings all the time. Even in recession. I like that. You like that? I like that. My
My wife just, you know, you heard her a while ago talking about these different departments and raises, and she says to her boss, she says, I am not staying here for this. It's time, because I want to make market value. And I've been telling her for 2 years, your raise will be effective when you are. And when she first heard, she said, just shut up. It was so funny. And now she's, what is it we say? You know. And I said to her, I said, and so she's talking to this lady. It's a friend of hers that's in HR. And she says, you know what, Dana, really, what you're asking for should be about a starting place for you with all the responsibilities you have. And so she makes up a little program, and she says, but I don't know if I'd be quitting my job until I had another one in this economy. Now, how many knows there's life and death in the power of the tongue? And so it threw her off, and she says, you know, what do you think? And so she brought that in her house, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, and so I was up praying one morning. She just left, and I always get up, and I pray, and get up and have my devotions, and just kind of see what God's saying for the day. And so I was, and it came. This is what came to me: go forward and don't look back. And so I called her, and I said, hey, here's your word for the day. Go forward, don't look back. She said, thank you. Then the next call that I got from her later on that evening is, we're celebrating, we're celebrating. Now, you know, it's still, I'm not telling you to do that. Don't say, oh, I tried that, Pastor, and I didn't, you know, they fired me. Now what do I do? Don't come to me with all that. That's your stuff. I have my own wife to pray for. My own life to contend with. Okay? I'm just telling you, that's what happened for us. And it's the same thing, but she has sown and sown and sown, and so she said it's time to reap X amount of dollars, and so this is what I'm going to do. And if I don't do it here, I'm going to go reap that X amount of dollars somewhere else. Because she has been sowing and sowing and sowing. Have you? Then if you have, expect God to give you a reaping season. But he says you won't get away with it. He says a man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, and that's what the flesh is. That's what I like about this. It just breaks it down instead of saying, if you sow to the flesh, because there's so many things that we do in the flesh. It's not, you know, if I go on vacation, we went to Naples in the summer. We went to Angel Fire this winter, and that was just for us. That was pleasure. But it was in its flesh, you could say, but it was that recharging, re-energizing time that we had. See? And so, well, I don't have money. Go do that. Well, go down to the park. Have a party. You know, what does God get? Celebrate right where you are. I used to didn't have money to do that either. And so, you know, but I'd celebrate. I'd go down, we'd go out and have a picnic, or we'd go to Sofra and go fishing all day, or, you know, whatever it is. It's not about going off somewhere. That's just what we want to do. But there are things that are flesh. You know, they're not, you know, when you ladies go to the mall and buy that, look for that outfit, and you get that outfit, that's not all just spirit-led, is it? All they're going to do is giggle at me, isn't it? Yeah. But isn't it kind of spiritually refreshing to know that you just enjoyed the fruits of your labor? So I'm glad it said this, you know, he who sows to his own wrong desires, it's wrong. It contradicts God's word. That's what the flesh, when it's talked about sowing in the flesh, it's talking about contradicting God's word. It's something we heap upon ourselves. He says he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. So that's what wrong desires will get us. But if he plants to the good things of the Spirit, he will reap the everlasting life that the Holy Spirit gives him. So the good things, that we're agreeing with God's word, what we're doing here. And let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Now, they always put something in the word, I believe, for a purpose. Now, and that's the other key. You have the whatever, it encompasses everything we do, and then you have the flesh. We can sow in flesh, we can sow in spirit, and we're constantly sowing in one of those modes. Constantly. Consistently sowing in one of those modes. And so here's the other part, is discouragement. Well doing. Have you ever said this? Well, I'm just tired of being the one that has to do everything.
You've already said that? Your young wife?
Really? Laren needs to pull her part, huh? Yeah. Whatever it is, you know. That's a common denominator among us. Well, I'm tired of doing all the good, you know, and when do I get to reap? When you know what? He said, here's a warning. It's going to affect what's coming in when you and I get in that kind of attitude. I mean, knows he put it in there for a reason, because he knows how we are as human beings, and he says, you know what? You better not get discouraged. You better not lose heart in doing good. I won't give you this phrase again, okay? I give it to you all the time, but you need it again today, because it's a new year, it's a new time, it's a different day. The success of my day is not dependent upon the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. Let's say that. The success of my day is not dependent upon the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. Now, that's within this universal code. That's what he's saying. Every day when I get up and I'm sowing good seeds, it's been a good day. When I sow spiritual seeds, it's a good day. I have things waiting over here for me in my future because of what I have sown today. Now, does it mean we won't go through things? No. In fact, yesterday we took our son over to the lens crafters, wherever it was over here, to the eye doctor, and we're as soon as we walk in the mall, I see an old friend, and I don't recognize him right off the bat, and I see his wife, like, I know that woman somewhere, and then I looked at the kid as well, I said, no, I don't know him, and then, but it had the name of their last name on the back of his letter jacket, and I thought, I wonder if that's, you know, and then the guy that I knew was standing up there in front of him, and I said, well, how you doing? And so we got to talking, and he told me, you know, he attends a little church that I preached at down at in the Sulphur area, and he said, man, we've been working on this for a wealthy guy, and it's like we've been there 7 months. We'll probably be there for another year on this job. And he said, and it's really cool. He said, man, he's paid me cash, and they're not even turning it in. I don't even have to turn it in. It's a good deal. I said, boy, no, Spirit, just give me a check. And I said, that is not a good deal. I said, first of all, it's unethical. Secondly, if they ever audit you and they see your account that you've been running through this money through and paying your bills, they're going to say, where did you get that money from? And then he pops up and he said, it's going to affect my credit too, because I'll show no income, right? And I said, absolutely. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. I mean, those, sometimes we need to have our credit affected. I said, it's not a good deal. Jan was sitting there. She said, you know, when Jack was in business, and in the same type business he's in, she said, you know what? We got behind because the building boom just bust, and I couldn't find work. So we was taking our tax money and putting food on the table. And it's just poor management is all it was. I'm not making excuses, but we got behind. It took us a long time to catch up and pay that off. I said, but we didn't not turn it in. I said, you can go to jail for tax evasion. It is not a good deal. But see, what happens is when it's something that looks like a blessing, it comes wrapped in a package where it looks like it's a blessing, and I'm not criticizing him, because all of us, when it comes wrapped pretty enough, we're like, this is a good deal. It's a good deal. So we don't need to get too holy and saying, you know, we would do anything different. It's just, it's still not a good deal if the Bible says it's not a good deal. You know, if law says it's not a good deal, it's not a good deal. You agree with me? So anyway, this is, he says, you know what? There's a discouragement time will come. And God knows that. That's why he put it in the Word. He said, man, if you don't get discouraged and give up, he said, you're going to reap. And then he gives a little tag on the end in verse 10. He says, that's why whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone. When we have an opportunity, he says, we should always be kind to everyone. Is there a class of people, a certain family member, a certain person you know, or a group of people at work, or somebody that you really have trouble being kind to? He says, be careful. It'll affect what you're going to reap. Because, and I think it'll affect our harvest in a greater measure when we go the extra mile to be kind to people that we really don't want to be kind to. Because that's called the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And he says, especially to our own Christian brothers, be kind to them. But it's kind of like this. You know, you get an apple seed or you get an apple and you cut it open, and what's inside of it? You know, you got the fruit of the thing, you got the core, and you got more apple seeds. Because that's what it produces, isn't it? Have you ever cut open an apple and you say, well, look at there, there's a peach seed in there. Wouldn't that be odd? Have you ever cut open a watermelon and there's a bunch of tomatoes or, you know. Have you ever cut open a plum and there was an apple seed? No. Why? Because this thing right here is in force. Nature itself teaches us that whatever, and all an apple tree sows is apples. That's the whole extent of their whatever is apples. And so they just produce apples. In fact, I wish we were more like fruit trees in the respect that we know what God called us to produce. There's so many people that don't even know what God called you to produce. What He calls you to do, to be. And so, but I think we can get there if you really want to. In fact, we got tools to help you if you don't know what you have been called to do and be. But, and here's what's really amazing to me. It's not that you cut open an apple and you see there's 6 seeds, 10 seeds in an apple. What's really a mystery to me is how many apples are in that seed. That's what always amazes me. How many apples are in that seed? You can take that seed and you can put it in the ground and nurture it and water it and put it in the right climate, and man, all of a sudden it sprouts up and then it becomes a tree. And when we moved out to the old farm we was out there like 15 years before we moved back into town, but they had some old apple trees and peach trees, and those things were just, you could tell they were old by their bark and things. They just had some disease on parts of them, and some of the limbs were withered, but man, those other limbs were just bare. And so when I moved out there, I planted me a garden and I put fertilizer around the old trees, and man, they really started producing. Because you get good stuff in, you get good stuff out, right? And so they started, and some of the limbs out there was amazing. Even in these old trees that they had fed the right thing, they'd have so many apples they'd just drag the ground. Some of them would break. It'd be to their hurt, to their damage, that they would produce so much. You know what they call that? A treeaholic. I thought it was funny. Treeaholic, you know. And so they overdo, you know, just break off. And you'd have to go out there and pick some of the limbs or some of the apples to rescue the other limbs. It was funny. I thought, man, but that's what they do. They're under this code that we're talking about this morning. Have you ever seen a horse have a cow? Look at that. That horse just had a little baby calf. Why? Because they're under this code. A baby horse, you know, they produce baby horses. Now, they can crossbreed things, and I know all that weird stuff, but that's what they're called to do. They're under this sowing and reaping process. And it goes both ways. One of the things I thought about when I was preparing this was, remember Joseph and his brothers? Joseph, the young man, and he had this dream of being a leader. He didn't know how to express it, really, did he? So he goes up to his parents and says, oh, you all are going to bow down to me someday. And, oh, guess what, brothers and sisters? You're going to bow down to me, too. And, you know, it's already bad enough that the baby of the family gets all the attention and the extra stuff. And then they come with this attitude. You can't blame them for saying, you know, what they did and feeling like they felt. But they harbored this. They kept sowing to unforgiveness and bitterness. And finally to the point where they took him and sold him to a band of traveling travelers, and they took him to Potiphar's house. He became a slave, and then he was lied on, and this Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, so he's thrown into prison on a false accusation. And in the prison, he interprets dreams, and then from there, he's brought to the king's presence, and he becomes second in command. So So you have two, both of these principles are working. They're working in the brothers over here that's sown in the flesh, and you have this young man that's over here, and he's sowing all this spiritual. He's sowing, he never quit sowing in the spirit. And even in a mess, and here's what I want you to get out of that story. Even in a mess, you can sow good seed, spiritual seed, and it will come up, even in a mess. When you think the climate is, there's no way. It would look as if there's no way his seeds of righteousness are going to come up as he's a slave and then he's a prison and all these things, but it just kept flourishing. Everywhere they put him, they said, you could tell God was with him. So what that does, church, is says you have no excuse. Now you might use an excuse, but you have no excuse not to flourish. And here's what we do. We put it off. We put it off. We say, well, as soon as I get this done, then I'm going to plant some good seed. I will start doing this. Now I want you to rephrase and say, as soon as I get through with this, I'm going to start my blessings. I'm just going to put my blessings on hold for a while because this is going on in my life. Hello? Now, if you're eager like me, an achiever, that you don't like that sound at all. And if that phrase doesn't bother you, you need some fire in your engine. That bothers me. But that's what we're saying, literally. I'm going to put off sowing righteous seeds and doing good because I've got mess going on around here. Listen, life is about mess. You got problems? Welcome to the world. Won't you come on in? You know? All God's children got problems. They just keep sowing. Paul said, man, I've been beat 5 times. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned, left for dead. And all through it, he just kept flourishing. Because he got up every morning and he said, there's a Christ that I want to tell you about. I want to preach the gospel one more time. And every morning, right through the rocks when they tried to stone him, it just come up right through the water in the ocean. It just come up right when he was being beaten. Fruit just coming out. Now, was it hard? Absolutely. I can't imagine being beaten over 2 or 3 times and saying, you know what? I'm just not going to broadcast this as much as I used to. I think I'm going to start an intercessory prayer group. How about that, Lord? But here's the problem with that. That wasn't Paul's calling. His was to preach the gospel. So every morning, with stripes all over his back, running every which way and scars to prove it, he got up and he would look at another group and he'd say, there is a better way. His name is Jesus. And it always stirred up things because conviction would come and religious people would be stirred up. And so here's the thing. Don't quit playing on the string that you're given. That's the one. You know, if you're an apple, sow apples. If you're peach, sow peaches. You know, maybe an apple could be a preacher. You know, you're shining out there and you're looking good and you're trying to present the fruit of the Spirit, and if you're peach, maybe you got the gift of mercy. Oh, what a pretty peach. Yeah. So just sow mercy. You sow in that realm and watch a harvest come up. Just keep sowing because it's going to come up. Here's one thing. You say, well, my crop, you know, Pastor, I'm trying to sow all the time and it just seems like it doesn't come up. Well, let me give you something. You never ever should consume all of your harvest. That'll cut your blessings down. Now, let me give you a scripture. I'm running out of time, but Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. When you harvest crops, don't reap the corners of your fields and don't pick up stray grains of wheat from the ground. It is the same with your grape crop. If you got a vineyard, don't strip every last piece of fruit from the vines and don't pick up grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and for those traveling through, for I am Jehovah your God. Well, I don't care about the poor. I don't care about the travelers. They ought to stay home and get a job like I have. Well, God cares about them. And he said, if you consume all that your harvest has brought up, it's going to affect you and your next blessing. Now, most of us don't have vineyards and harvest grapes and all that stuff. So what is that? Well, your job is your harvest field, isn't it? And your paycheck is your fruit. That's the, you know, that's your, that's where you, your job is where you're planting and sowing and doing, and then here's your fruit, here's your grape, here's your wheat, here's whatever you're gleaning. It comes in the form of paycheck. So all he's saying, you know, the mean might be a little different, but you just take that and you say, this is not all mine. The government gets his part, but also God gets his part. Amen? So it makes it better. Here's another key. Like with Joseph, here's another thing that'll kill your harvest. Here's a harvest killer deluxe, and that is unforgiveness. See, don't think you can harbor unforgiveness for Sally or Joe or mom or dad or family or this or that and harbor unforgiveness and reap a bountiful crop, because you cannot. It is a harvest killer. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you don't forgive, God your Father will not forgive you. But if you forgive and release, He will forgive you and take those... It's kind of like having, you know, you got all your seeds planted over here, but there's no water coming. There's no substance coming, because unforgiveness, He says, has just killed your crop. And it'll kill you as well. So there's another crop killer. And there's one last thing I want to show you. I found this the other day, and I thought, I'm not sure how we could put this into practice today. And I thought it was kind of hilarious in a way, but when it talks about your harvest being small, in Leviticus 23:9, it says, "The festival of the first fruits. When you arrive in a land I will give you, and you reap your first harvest." The first harvest. Just think of this. You've gone to a new place. You're in a new country, a new place. You moved, and all of a sudden you planted at work, and here's your first check. Here's your first paycheck in this new venture, in your new place. And he says, bring the first sheaf. You know, cut out some little bundles here. They're talking about a field, and they'll bundle them together. And they'll bring this first load, if you will, to the Lord. And he says, the first sheaf of harvest, you take it to the priest. So you would bring your paycheck up and give it to me, and this is what we're going to do. It says, on the first day after the Sabbath. And he said, and then the preacher takes your check, and he waves it before the Lord in a jest of offering, and it will be accepted for the Lord as your gift. So you brought your venture, and you bring it in, and you bring it up, said, "Oh, Pastor, let's wave this before the Lord. We want to recognize where this came from. This came from God. This is not our doing. You know, He gave me talents and stuff, and I used them, but I just want to be reminded, and I want to just wave it before the Lord and say, hey, Lord, here's this first fruit from this company, from this job, from whatever it is that you gave me." And just wave it before the Lord. And then we say, "Okay, I give you the first part there, Lord. We're in good shape, right?" He says, "No, not yet." He says, and he goes on. He says, he'll wave before the Lord and gesture his gift. And he said, verse 12, "That same day you will sacrifice to the Lord a male yearling male yearling lamb without defect as a burnt offering." So you've got to bring the best male lamb from your herd. "Well, I already gave him my first bundle of ground. Wave it." "Well, I know, but now," he says, "I want you to remember, not only from your harvest field is that coming from, but I want you to know that I'm blessing this part over here, the meat as well." And he said, "And I don't want just anyone, I want your best one." Listen, we better be careful when we give a token offering. It'll affect your harvest. Just a thought. Learn how to give your best. Let it be a sacrifice. When you look at what you could give and what you ought to give what you ought to give. Because the flesh is always out for us. And so if we follow that inkling, we're going to be back over here in the spiritual. I mean, in the flesh, when we could have sown in the spirit and reaped a big harvest. Have you ever, there's very few times I ever thought about giving an offering that a second number don't come.
Right.
And it's hardly ever bigger. But it looks attractive. Because if I gave that, I could still do this. And so he said, you go get me the male lamb, the best one in your herd, and you bring it here. So, okay, here's the lamb. Are we done? No. Verse 13, "A grain offering shall be accompany it, consisting of a fifth of a bushel of finely ground flour mixed with olive oil." So it's all ready to be cooked. Here's another part, see. I want you to know that when you pick that and you're sitting at your table and it's all mixed up and you're getting ready to eat it, I want you to remember where it come from. I want you to remember because you gave me the best part of it to start with. Can I tell you something? We live in America and we live in a very privileged country. You go to Guatemala and Dominican and some of these countries that we've been going to and look around and see what you have. See what the middle class in those countries have. They've got a used car, an old used car, they're middle class. They've got two used cars, they're very well to do. They don't have what we have here. And God's saying, I bless you. But you know what? The people that founded this country, they put all their stuff up for collateral to make sure we could worship God in a free country. They put everything on the line, and God blessed them tremendously. And so, he brings the olive oil, he brings all this in, Lord, and it'll be very pleasant. This will be very pleasant to him. Because you got all your ducks in a row and you're bringing all the good stuff to him. Just to remind you, he's not asking you to give it all. He's just saying, give me a good part. Give me a good part. Something that'll hurt when you give, you know? And then he says, and it'll be very pleasant. And he's still not finished. He said, also, I want you to bring a drink offering consisting of 3 pints of wine. I'm like, woo, go God, 3 pints of wine. How many knows we're not serving a stiff-necked God? I hear people say, alcohol has never touched my lips. Well, good for you. It has Jesus. He drank wine. I don't get that. You know, he said, don't get drunk. Don't abuse that. Don't abuse food. And some of them says, alcohol has never touched my lip. I said, well, something's been touching your lip. I can tell by your fruit. And I better quit before I get in trouble again. I'll go ahead and apologize, right? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm just saying we don't need to be righteous over what we do and don't. We're made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? All of us have something that touched our lips, or our lips have said, or eyes have seen that we should, you know, it wasn't holy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we're righteous because of what he says. So you bring the offering, the 3 pints of wine. And he said now in verse 14, until this is done, you must not eat any of the harvest for yourselves, neither fresh kernels, nor bread, nor parched grain. This is a permanent, it goes through the cross. It's a permanent law throughout your nation. So never underestimate the power of your giving to the Lord. When you haven't gleaned everything and you're remembering the poor and you're giving some away, I'm telling you, that is powerful. I think that's why God has blessed Jan and I as much as he has, because ever so often we help James Robinson just give a little something to the poor. Just to remind us that it don't matter if we're going tough times or bad times, or it's not huge, but it's good for, it's an offering for us that we give what we feel like and just plan in that, and then we'll give through him through the church, and it's just something. And I think that's why God has blessed us so. It's because there's a principle at work in this sowing and reaping process that we cannot forget. And it's something that touches your heart. Does the poor still touch your heart? Are you giving a part? In fact, let me give you something with this. This morning in our prayer meeting, our elder came with a challenge to our church. He said, I think we need to drill a well. Take on a well. Well is $4,800 through Life Outreach International that we support. And he said, I think we ought to drill a well this year. Just say, we're going to take on a well. So you put that in your prayer closet and your thoughts, and you pray about it. And we'll receive an offering for that and see what God wants to do. Here's what I know. He said in Matthew, and this has been coming back over and over to me again, on the right hand is the sheep, on the left is the goat. And he doesn't say you on the right, you had such correct theology, and you just worshipped me so, and you just laid hands on everybody, and you just such a... No, he said you fed them. The one that needed feeding. You clothed the one that needed clothing. You give a drink to the one that needed a drink. And you went and visited the sick, and you went and visited those in prison. Just common ministry. And he said, and when you did that to me. You see, if you bless my kids, you bless me. You do something special for my children, you know, or grandchildren. That blesses me. Not long ago, Miss Thelma bought Addie a dress. I thought, what a wonderful gesture. See, now none of you, the rest of you, care about that because it ain't your grandkid. But if somebody blesses your grandkid because they belong to you, that's a blessing, isn't it? And that's the way it is from God, that we're all God's children. So when we do it to one, He said, oh man, that touched my heart. And that's why when we stand before Him, He's not talking about, did you have doctrinal theology? Did you know all this? And you were right and they were wrong. He said, no, you fed them, you clothed them, you visited them. And that's the heart of ministry. And that's why He had such a good crop when it comes to harvest time. Let's pray. Father, thank You for showing us today that in each and every day we're sowing a harvest. Whatever area we sow in, whatever area, doesn't matter. When we get up, we have thoughts, we say things, we speak life or death, we give, we hold back gifts, we forgive, we hold back unforgiveness. All day long we're just sowing, and all day long we're reaping in all different kind of areas. But it's a continual process, 24 hours a day. And so today I pray that You'll bring awareness to us that every day and everything we say, everything we do, we're sowing seeds. And I pray, God, for a new anointing for our church and for myself personally, that You give us a new anointing to be so aware of what we're doing and saying and being. Even at work, we're giving our best. We're sowing our best. We're not leaving anything lacking. When there's a job to be done, we go do it. And when we need a little more than what our part is, we give it on the extra mile. Because we're just sowing good seeds. Because we have learned and we know now that the success of our day is not dependent upon the harvest that we reap, but the seeds that we sow. Thank You for sharing this with us today, Lord, in Your Word. That You expect our best. You expect things from us, even before we enjoy our first meal, that we should put You first. And as we keep You first, You will put us first. And You'll shower us with blessings that go way beyond our expectations. Thank You for that. Take away all of our excuses today. Help us not blame anyone else ever again. That my destiny is not determined by critics or recessions, but it's determined by the seeds that I sow. And today, Lord, we declare that we will get up and start sowing good seeds every day. From the time we leave here, even before we leave here, we're going to be friendly and loving and shake hands and hug necks and share with our brothers and sisters and sow good seeds in fellowship. And when we get home, we'll do the same with our families. No more screaming and yelling, no more telling and threatening, but we'll just be honest to our word and we'll reap a good harvest of wonderful kids and grandkids and life. And it's good because You said it could be, because we're sowing good seeds. Help us to take responsibility for that and reap the benefits and the blessings. They're there. So today, Lord, forgive us for sowing to the flesh. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us. Every time we're sowing in the flesh, convict us and give us wisdom so we can move back into sowing into the Spirit. So that every day we can reap a harvest. In Jesus' name. While Christians praying, your heads are bowed. If you're here today, I want to just lead you in a prayer. If you've been away from God, or if you've never known God, or you have been harboring something today and you say, I want to turn it loose today, I want to pray over you. Just pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I turn this over to You. Just call it out. You don't have to say it verbally, but in your mind, just call out whatever it is. I give it to You, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Maybe it's lust, greed, unforgiveness, bitterness, laziness, excuses, blame, whatever it is. I just give it to You today, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Make me whole. Cleanse me from this, Lord. Today I make You Lord in this situation. I give You Lordship. And I'm Yours, Lord. Thank You for cleansing me. Thank You for forgiving me. And thank You for empowering me today. From this day forward, to go forward and live in abundance and life that will reflect Jesus Christ and will draw sinners to the cross and the light of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.